Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
I'm Brianna Kurtz, host of Eat Your Words. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to
The Man About It.
I'm John LaPola.
And I'm Mary Izette, and this is your weekly podcast on all things fermentable. We're live every Monday night at 7 and archived on heritageradionetwork.org, as well as iTunes and Stitcher.
So, how you doing, Mary?
Good. How are you, John?
I'm doing really well. I am owner of Bitter and Esther's Homebrew Shop in 700 Washington Avenue in Brooklyn, and I will be the host every first Monday, talking all things homebrewing.
Yep.
So, you have some announcements, Mary? Because I do.
I do. I'll be brief. So, first up is... Ooh, I'll do these in chronological order. So first up is the New York City Brewers Guild. So that's the professional organization of New York City commercial brewers. On the 20th of September, they're going to have what's called Blocktoberfest. So it's going to be a big beer fest. It's a benefit to benefit the New York City Brewers Guild. Tickets are only $10 for general admission, and they're going to have $5 craft beers, or you can buy beer tickets ahead of time as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be live music, some food, all kinds of beverages, and you'll get a really good idea of what's going on in the very exciting New York City beer scene. Next up in New York City is Brooklyn Wort. That's on Sunday, October 12th in Gowanus, Brooklyn. The tickets are $45 per person, and this is a just general homebrew competition. It's not BJCP. It's open to the public. I will be there judging, as I did last year, and I think the year before. This is an absolutely amazing place and time and event to taste what's going on in the local homebrew scene. And there is an early bird code homebrew 333, and you can enter that to save $5. So go to brooklynwort.com for that. And then last but not least, Chris Kuzma and I are going to the Great American Beer Festival this year, which we're super excited about. So on Monday, September 29th, we're going to have our official GABF pre-show. We're going to have some brewers on that will be there, as well as our friend Mr. Chris O'Leary of Brew York. And he's going to talk. He's like a GABF pro, and he's going to give us all kinds of information about how to navigate GABF properly. Also, I want to give a heads up to our friend Eric Steen, who we have had on the show before. He's in charge of the Beers Made by Walking project, and they're having a Beers Made by Walking festival at the GABF. Separate ticketed event, Friday, October 3rd. Go to focusonthebeer.com for information and ticket availability. And this was a project that invites brewers to go on nature hikes and make new beers that are inspired by plants from the trail. So super exciting.
So cool. I know, Eric. Great guy.
All right, I'm done. Go, John.
I just have a couple of shout-outs, actually, from my store. Our friend Sam Smock, who used to work at my store, has left us. If you know Sam, he's a great guy. I just want to say Godspeed, young Sam. He is actually bicycling to New Orleans. It's so nice to be young.
Awesome.
So I hope he's having a good time being careful. And also another one of my employees, John Hagen, and his lovely wife, Kathy, have just had a baby, a little brewer named Lucian, a little boy. So I just want to give them a shout out and say that is so awesome. I also like to mention a shout out to our friends at the Long Island Malt and Beer of Enthusiasts, Lip and Me. They just got a really nice article in Zymergy, in this month's Zymergy magazine, at the last page, the last drop there, and they mentioned us several times, Bitter and Esther, so it was super awesome. I just wanted to say thank you to them for doing that. We had a great time with John Palmer. And at the store, we're going to have some really cool events coming up. We have a cider event that's coming up in the end of October that I'll tell you more about next month. And we do have our monthly bottle swap that we do every first Wednesday. So if you're in Prospect Heights and you want to really check out some killer beer, go to Bitter and Esther's on 6:30.
Is that Wednesday. Homebrew bottle swap?
Homebrew bottle swap, yes. And thank you for saying that. You can bring bottles of whatever. No, homebrew only. Cool. So I'm excited about tonight's show. The idea behind this was to talk to homebrewers who are in the midst of opening breweries. Not guys that were homebrewers at own breweries, but guys that are homebrewers that are still opening a brewery. Because I get this question all the time. People, especially when they first start brewing, they're like, oh, hey, I made my first batch. I want to open a brewery. What do I do? So I usually say get several million dollars and someone who knows how to brew beer, and that's how you open a brewery. Or at least by Dick Cantwell's book, How to Open a Brewery, How to Start Your Own Brewery. So these are a couple of guys here that are doing it right now, and I thought it would be really interesting for people to hear their story about what they've been going through. The first bunch of guys are from, I always get your name screwed up, the Kings County Brewers Collective. Yes. If you want to introduce yourselves, did I get it right? All right. So who do we got here from Kings County?
I'm Tony Bellis.
All right. I'm Zach Kinney.
And Pete Linjo.
Cool. And then we also have Strong Rope Brewery, another guy, and this is?
Jason Saylor.
Jason Saylor from Strong Rope. So we're going to talk to Kings County first, friends of ours. And you all are fairly interesting people. Tony, you work at Greenpoint Brewing in Brooklyn, right? You're the head brewer there?
Yeah, I'm the head brewer, brewery manager at Greenpoint Beer Works. We brew beer for Kelso of Brooklyn, Heartland Breweries, Empire, and some other breweries too.
That's pretty cool. And but you're still homebrew. You're still a home brewer.
Yeah, I've been homebrewing for what, 7+ years. Went from being a beer lover into living on the West Coast in San Francisco, and got in with some friends who were homebrewing and started doing that, and then moved back to New York City and kept doing it, and quickly realized I wanted to do it professionally at some point.
That's very, very cool. And Zach, you are the, I should call you Mr. President.
Mr. President, yes. Okay. That's my official title. Yeah.
Of the New York City Homebrewers Guild.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I'm currently serving my time as the president there, as has Mary before me and many others.
And the mysterious missing Kuzme.
He's sailing, isn't
Where
he?
Where is he, man?
Every time I'm on the show,
that
he's sailing.
Guy.
The sailing
Kuzme. Hey, Kuzme, foment about it. So I've been serving there for a year. I was vice president before that. And I got into home brewing about the same time, about 7 years ago. My dad started home brewing when he was in college. So this was like in the early 70s, when I think all you had was like, a mysterious, can that just said, beer ingredients, then that was kind of your only option.
That's kind of how I started, too.
This big block that said hops, and that was it. So we made a bad beer for a while, and then, things got better, and when I was younger growing up, I was always down there helping them out on the brew kettle, probably mostly getting in the way, but throwing hops in and smelling and tasting things. And when I moved to New York in about 2007, I started homebrewing myself. Ironically, in the city where the space is the least, I decided, hey, this is a good time to finally start brewing for myself.
We have a great bunch of homebrewers in New York City.
It's a great community, and a lot of them in the Homebrewers Guild. And I mean, there's so many clubs now, and it's a really, really great community.
And Pete, you work at Finback right now, right?
Yeah,
Finback
currently
in Queens, right?
Currently at Finback in Glendale.
So you guys all have brewing experience, but now you're actually opening your own brewery, or at least trying to. So, Tony, tell me a little bit about what was the impetus to this.
Well, I guess it really started, as I got into home brewing, I realized I wanted to do it professionally, and always knew I wanted to start my own business someday. So started working on my own plan for a brewery, and then started meeting a lot of other people through the homebrew community in New York, and had met Pete and Zach and Jason and Ashley. We basically all of us had different brewery plans ourselves, and we started a little group up. It was kind of a networking group of breweries and planning.
New Brew School, or wasn't it a name briefly?
Yeah, but Leaders of the New Brew or
Leaders
something.
New, something cheesy.
But and so we all started kind of working together, and just we'd meet up monthly or bi-monthly and just talk about how our brewery plans were going, and then
sort of like therapy for brewers, kind of wannabe brewers.
Yeah,
it's talk therapy.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Drink therapy.
Yeah, drink therapy. Yeah. That's the best
therapy.
Kind. Yeah. So yeah, kind of through that we started working on this plan for Kings County Brewers Collective, and Zach, maybe you want to talk about
it. I think it was Tony's idea originally, and he came in and was like, this idea of doing a cooperative brewing thing, and it's New York City, as you mentioned, John, it's expensive. Everything, opening a brewery is expensive anyway, but in New York City, it's astronomically expensive. Real estate is one thing you need, and it's not cheap here. So that alone can be a really difficult hurdle to overcome for anyone who wants to start up a business, especially a brewery. So as soon as he said that, you know, immediately sounded to me like a good idea. It took us a while before we all kind of like joined forces, you know, Voltron style, but it was something that seemed to make a lot of sense in the sense that, you know, we're doing this as a collective. So it's going to be one physical brewery, but because we're all creative brewers, you know, by nature, we're going to have each the ability and creative freedom to brew our own beers.
Is it? It's always going to be under the one name, the Kings County Brewers Collective. So it's the brewery is one thing, and everybody has kind of their own piece of what they do. Can anyone else be part of this collective?
Yeah, we're absolutely looking to be, you know, sort of outward and open with collaborations and partnerships and everything like that. I mean, we've kind of decided that, you know, among other things, we want to have, you know, at least one homebrew tap that we can kind of just have on tap.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have a small pilot system, and, you know, we really want to, we're all from the homebrew community, and it feels like, you know, a great way to give back to the, you know, to our friends and the people that have taught us a lot about homebrewing and, you know, give the new local talent a chance to come in and brew something maybe on our system. Eventually.
That's a great idea. So cool. I love it. Pete, you guys searching locations? You've been scouting locations?
Yeah, every week we go with a realtor and check out new spots.
A lot of empty warehouses.
Yeah.
Lots of four walls with nothing in it.
But potential.
But potential. That's beautiful. Well, Brooklyn especially used to be like over 60 breweries, right? So it's really nice to see all these breweries opening and working hard to make excellent beer in New York. So it's very exciting. What would you say is the biggest hurdle right now besides money? Is it licensing or... what would you tell somebody like, hey, I'm going to... You want to do this. This is the one thing I can tell you to look out for.
I think the biggest hurdle is really, you know, taking your idea of this dream and turning it into something that's a commercially viable business. You know, I think in the beginning we had a vision that we thought would be, you know, a really cool business idea. And then as we started working on our business plan, realized that, you know, due to the cost of real estate and the cost of doing business in New York City and working with multiple business partners, we've just kind of grown and grown the business concept. So I think it's finding this, you know, perfect balance of, you know, how do we afford to do this in New York City, mm-hmm. and what scale do we need to be able to do that at to be profitable and to be able to have some growth.
Have you figured that out yet?
We figured that out.
We have a plan.
Yeah.
We have a plan.
Yeah.
But if you tell me, you'll have to kill me. Is that what
pretty much.
Yeah. Right. That's cool. No, I understand being killed.
We can tell you, the gist of it, which, you know, but it does come down to, as Tony said, you know, it's a lot of it's just pure like dedication. It's been a lot of work, a lot of time, above and beyond our day jobs. And it
you have day jobs too?
Yeah. It's tough, man. you know, Tony's a father, you know, there's a lot of other things going on in our lives, that you know, sometimes gets in the way of planning a, you know, $1 million plus operation. So, you know, the biggest piece of advice is, you know, I would think is just, you know, be persistent. Don't be afraid to ask for help. The homebrew community and the craft beer community is a very open, you know, group of people, unlike a lot of other industries. So that's great.
I've noticed that. I think it's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it does, you know, if you take yourself seriously and if you, you know, and if you, you build it, you know, at least for right now, things are, you know, demand is there. So that is certainly a big plus. You don't really have to convince people that, you know, craft beer is good thing for you.
So I actually have to say that I'm really impressed with you guys because you have taken the time to get very solid professional brewing experience. I mean, Pete, this is the third commercial brewery that you've worked at, Finback.
Yeah, that's right.
And Tony, you're now the head brewer at Greenpoint Beer Works,
yeah, that's right.
Correct? So I would actually like to know, what has your commercial brewing experience given you in planning this?
Well, translating like recipes, even just the process going from homebrew, a pot on your stove, to a professional system, it's very different. So you need to learn how to use that equipment, and your recipes don't necessarily translate linearly. Cleaning PBW at home versus caustic. Right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's many different things. Yeast is probably the ultimate, like, yeast quality, putting up a lab, things that you take a little further in professional brewing than you did at home, and still make great beer, but you can make it much better. And then planning it, it's a business first and foremost, so.
Yeah, I tell people that a lot. I'm like, the brewing part is important, and the final product is important, but it's really matters that you have a business plan and that you know how you're going to actually make all this happen. The business plan would probably be the first and foremost thing, right, if you're going to decide to open a brewery.
Definitely. I think putting time and effort into a business plan is key. It's number one. Don't attempt it without it.
You know, there's also, you know, we all, discovered, well, I think we kind of knew this going into it, but we all completed the American Brewers Guild program.
Oh, that's a good idea,
intensive,
right?
Brewing science and engineering. Yeah, that you know, and I learned a ton there. You know, there obviously is a lot of knowledge just out there available on the internet and your friends, you know, but not all of it's good. So Steve Parks runs a great program up in Vermont. Quick shout out to him. And I got a lot out of that for sure that I think was excellent preparation for anyone. I could recommend that. For
knowledge is power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they teach you how to open a brewery as well, or they just teach you how to run a brewery?
It's a little bit, they have some different tracks. You know, I did the brewery and planning track. Actually, it was the first time they'd done that, and it had in addition to a lot of the science and engineering, there's a heavy emphasis on the science of it, and I think that's really important. Again, you have to be able to make consistently high quality beer. That's, if you can't do that, it doesn't really matter how good your business plan is,
right?
So that's first and foremost, but it did cover a lot of some of the regulatory stuff you have to go through, some basics about where to look for loans and funding of that sort, and I found it really helpful.
Tony, so what kind of beers are you going to be making at this collective?
Well, we're going to be doing a little bit of everything. I think each of us kind of has our, you know, little passions that we like, but I think we all like brewing a little bit of everything. We're going to have 10 to 12 beers on tap all the time in our tap room.
Nice.
Really focused on, for our bar and restaurant accounts, we'll have some, you know, featured beers and then some rotating seasonals. I love stuff with smoked malts in it. That's kind of one of my little favorites. I love hoppy beers too. You know, a good IPA. I'll drink that any day. I think we all will.
And
so.
You brought a recipe with you today, and this is one thing that we're going to be doing on the first Monday is having our guests bring recipes, and we're going to put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/famanaboutit.
It's
spelled the way it sounds. So just so you know, I'm from New York, so it's famanaboutit.
Yeah, so I brought
what do you got? What's your recipe?
Yeah, I brought a recipe for a session IPA. So something real easy drinking, 4.8%. Lots of nice fresh dry hop flavor in it. So, we'll throw that up there.
Should be up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice beer.
What's your tips for brewing a session IPA, Tony?
First, start with good quality malt. You know what? I think the session IPA, just because it's low alcohol, pretty, you know, small malt bill, I like to focus on, you know, I like something a little more distinct. So this recipe, for instance, is Golden Promise, my favorite malt of all time.
I believe Kuzme calls that a cheater malt because it's so good.
You know what?
Make it good with Turo. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you throw Golden Promise in there, it's hard to not make it good. But, do Golden Promise or Maris Otter or something like that. And then a little crystal malt and throw in a bunch of different hops. I mean, this has got a, you know, wide variety of hops. And, I like to not make things too complicated, you know. Just
cool.
Make it simple and fresh and
delicious.
Interesting. Yeah.
So before we go to break, I just want to say, when do you guys think you're going to open? Do you have a date that you're going to open up your brewery?
Soon as possible.
ASAP. All right. Well, I'm sure
next
that
year,
when
next
you,
year.
When you do open, we are going to give you a huge
2015 KCBC, Kings County Brewers Collective.
Get ready for it. All right. We're going to take a quick break and talk to Jason Saylor from Strong Rope Brewing.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Foment About It.
Foment About It.
On HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
So, we're back. We were just speaking with the Kings County Brewing Collective. It was really interesting, guys.
And I got to say, for those of you who are not New Yorkers, Kings County is Brooklyn.
It's Brooklyn.
So, yeah. Not only do we have borough names, but we have counties, too. Just FYI. Not everyone might know that.
That's true. Yeah, we have Kings County. We have Queens County. I don't know if we have Jokers County or not, but we probably should. And we are going to be talking with Jason Saylor. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you?
Jason's from Strong Rope Brewing. And,
that's correct.
Well, he's been a friend of the store for a long time and a friend of Foment About It. And here you're in the middle of this, too. You probably have a very similar story to these guys, right? Yeah. So how long have you been homebrewing, Jason?
I've been homebrewing since about 2003, 2004, sometime around there. It's a little blurry at this point.
Those are heady times, I remember them.
Yeah. So, but started off just kind of as a beer geek, learned to like beer in Europe and kind of followed it back here and found that there were good beers and started going to a local bottle shop called Beers of the World in Rochester, New York. And they had kits there. So we just ended up picking up some kits one time and going out to my mom's farm and brewing some bottles out there, which I actually think we still have some left. And I tasted one, and it was just like oxidized to hell. It was just really bad.
Really? It's only 11 years old. I don't know why it would be a problem with it.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, so I've been doing that for a while and started getting much more serious about 2009. My wife ended up getting me a little one-gallon kit. Because it was just, you know, brewing, obviously, like as we said before, in New York City is not the easiest thing in terms of space. So it was kind of a way to get me back into it and started doing it then and just kept it going and started in entering competitions. And finally, in 2011, I entered the Brooklyn Wort and took first place with my brown ale. And
that must have been very exciting.
It was. I was just, and it was an amazing time. And it kind of set me on my way. I'm like, hey, people actually like my beer. So it was kind of, and I've always wanted to do something creative, and this was just kind of a creative outlet for me. You know, I like that much better than sitting behind a desk and tapping at a keyboard. So, yeah, so that's where I am currently, and we're I'm in the process, actually, at this point, of lease negotiations with a space.
No kidding. All right.
Yeah, so, you know, nothing signed yet.
When did the spark go up? When did you, you know, wake up and say, I am opening a brewery? Like, was there a time happened? Or
I really think it was the... I mean, I started... The idea started to form before the competitions, but when I won Brooklyn Wort, it kind of... That real, I'm like, okay, you know, this... I'm actually good at this. I can do this. People like my beer, so let's take a stab. So it was 2011, you know, the spring of it, and then we started really formulating the idea and kind of progressing from there.
Where does the name Strong Rope come from?
Strong Rope is actually named after a friend of mine who passed away on 9/11. Yeah, his name was Eric Ropito, and we always used to call him Rope. So Strong Rope was part of it is a way for me to pay homage to him, and just kind of a way, kind of an overall feeling that I had, you know, it's a way to how I felt and how... It was a way for me to be, it was almost a cathartic, naming and allowed me to continuously think about him in a positive way. And
it's a fitting tribute, I guess.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
So, and that's where a lot of the names of the beers and the ideas come from, is kind of our relationship. One of the beers, I brought some beers today. One of the beers I brought, actually brought two beers today. One is cream ale that we're tasting right now, which I actually have a recipe for later.
Delicious.
As well. This is a Young Lion of the West, which is named after our hometown, Rochester, which during the Erie Canal construction and boom, it became one of the biggest towns east of or west of the New York City. So it was called Young Lion of the West because it was this big booming town that was coming up. So I took that name, and in this particular iteration of it, I added fresh local cherries, which we, you know, kind of stemmed and de-pitted, and then we froze them and put about. It was about, for a 5-gallon batch, it was about pound and a half at the end after all the manipulation of the cherries.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. I haven't tried it yet. I'm still working on tax beer, but I'll get to it.
And you added during?
We added those in secondary. Yeah.
And that'll be in this. The recipe that you brought is going to be for this, and it'll be on our Facebook page tomorrow. So that's really cool. I'm going to make that tomorrow. The interesting thing is that you actually bought another brewery's brewing system. You bought Rockaway Brewery's brewing system. So what was that, on Craigslist or
don't
something?
Don't have a space yet. But
you're just like, look, Honey Brewery for sale. I bought it. I didn't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big things in starting a brewery is, obviously, we said, you had said at the beginning, it was $2 million. I mean, it's an expensive endeavor. And unfortunately, I don't have $2 million yet. So we were trying to save money, and one of the ways you can save money is buying used steel. Right. So if you can find that,
Very difficult in this age of new breweries.
And that's why when we saw that Rockaway was upgrading from a 2-barrel to a 5-barrel, we took advantage of that opportunity and jumped on that sale. And because it was pretty much in line with the idea, the size and idea. The size and idea that we wanted to do, we wanted to do a small scale nano style brewery to start, just because we don't have all the money in the world. And like we said, like they were talking about before, the Kings County's guys, you know, space is a premium space, you know, it's a tough thing to find. So we're starting out a little smaller, trying to do it not on the cheap, but you know, cheaper
on the smaller
side. Yeah. And taking it, you know, finding a used system was just a kind of a key thing that we could do. So we took advantage of that.
We should all take a moment to appreciate. I mean, you scored, Jason. Like, honestly. I remember when Kuzme told me this. Like, you totally scored. Anymore. We should all be jealous. And also, I want to say, there's a reason that nano brewery is an actual term.
Right.
I mean, it's legitimate. There's,
it's legitimate. And, I mean,
see
the thing,
a lot of them in New York.
Do not be ashamed of being a nano brewery.
Right. No, there's no shame. And you just, you kind of got to model your business around that then. So one of the things we're really going to be doing is, well, one of the idea behind Strong Rope is to really focus on local New York grown and made beers and served beers. We want to serve as much of the beer through the tap room as possible. It's just one of the only viable ways to make a nano brewery, viable. Yeah. And so it's really important that you create this brewery that people can come to and experience where their beer comes from. I mean, that's the big thing is Strong Rope is going to be a place for people to come and say, okay, this is where your beer is made. This is where you're drinking it. And, you know, we're going to really focus on showcasing the local malts and the local hops and the local cherries and the local fruits, herbs, spices, everything, you know, whatever we're putting into it, we're going to try to use as much as local as possible and really just kind of get into that. Go back to the Rockaway system. I do want to thank one Rockaway for, you know, it was a great working with them and trying to get the system and getting that, you know, helping us get it and stuff. And then also Finback, because they have are actually helping us store it in the meantime. And without them, it would be. So Kevin and Basil, thank you very much. I'll bring you some beer soon.
And they're a graduate of your...
They're part of the new brew school thing. Our whole group here is kind of represented. You know, it's Jason, you know, me, Tony, Pete, Kevin, Basil, a few other guys.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun group, and we need to actually get back into it because we haven't been to one in a while.
We have some news to report to each other, I guess. Right?
Yeah. Things are coming along. So... but yeah, so it, you know, we're in lease negotiations. Hopefully, have something soon, and you know, we can get some beer up and running soon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Love to.
I mean, there's never enough beer, and
that is true.
And you guys all make such great beer. I can't wait for it.
So I got to give you props, Jason, because I mean, I've been in the homebrew scene for a while, like pretty active, obviously. But you have been doing tastings continuously. First of all, I think you have represented yourself as Strong Rope Brewery at these different beer fests like Brooklyn Wart and other beer fests around town for a long time. Not only that, but you've also had tastings at various locations or events. And I have to say, I think that's an absolutely brilliant thing to do, that you've already developed a name for yourself and a following, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't have the experience that these guys have some amazing experience, and I don't quite have that commercial or that schooling. So for me, I have to kind of, and I think for anybody that they want to get into it, they have to take advantage of what they can do and what avenues they have to them. So for me, it's doing events, doing tastings. You know, I was in the, I you know, participated in multiple Brooklyn Worts and homebrew competitions and Pride of Brooklyn, and I'll be in Brooklyn Wort this fall, and I had the name, I had the idea behind Strong Rope for a while now, so that was one thing I could focus on. Also my recipes, I mean, I've had ideas, you know, so it was all those things I could cultivate and try to bring along at an early stage. So even though I didn't have equipment at that point and I didn't have a space, I had an idea. And one of the great things about these events and tastings, and I do tastings at a Basic in Williamsburg. So it's one of the great things about these events is that when you're cultivating your idea and you're cultivating your persona, is that you can get people out and get their feedback. Feedback, you know, a long time before anything else happens. Like, what do you like about this beer? What do you like about this idea? What do you like about the name? What do you like? What, like, all of that. So there's a lot that you can do and focus on, even if you don't have a space. Don't just kind of sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, I need to get a space first and then everything. Like, there's a lot you can do. Business plans, marketing.
Branding.
Yeah, all that's like, very important. Get all that done. So,
well, I got to tell you, Jason, I had people come into the store making recipes that you gave them from stuff that they've tasted, especially that Cadbury egg. One. Yeah. People are like, yeah, I had that one. That was awesome.
Wait, what? I have not had this. Tell us about this Cadbury egg beer.
You were pouring that at Pride of Brooklyn.
That was Pride of Brooklyn, yeah. Awesome. So that I think was also... I actually used this, the cream ale as a base for a lot of branching off. Because by itself, it's a very clean... nice beer, just like cream ales. Like, cream ales are just supposed to be a nice, easy drinking beer, but they're also great blank canvas for a lot of different things. So for this Cadbury egg beer I did, we ended up adding chocolate cocoa nibs, and also adding milk sugar. So we kind of took that idea, because it was around Easter time or so. And so we took this idea and just kind of wanted to replicate that and just kind of get those initial flavors and ideas into a beer. And you don't want it to be as sweet as a Cadbury egg. Those are just cloying. But you kind of want to get those essence of the chocolate and the cream. And, you know, we kind of literalized it by putting in the milk sugar.
And they served it in an egg, which I thought was really interesting.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I think we got to wrap up, right, Mary? Yeah. So, thank you, everybody. Thank you. To Pete and Zach and Tony and Jason. Thanks for talking to us about opening your breweries. That's awesome.
I got to give one more shout out. Since our last show, we've had a new brew pub open in the New York City area.
That's right.
So if you're in New York City, Keg and Lantern is now serving their own house brewed beer. It's by the wonderful Patrick P.J. Allen. He has a system in the basement. I was there, I think, a week and a half ago. They had an IPA, a pale ale, and a wit. Yep. And let me tell you, those beers are $5 during happy hours for pints.
$5.
Yeah.
In the rest of the country, that's $2. But yeah, $5.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Dude, they were great. I mean, PJ's doing a great job. They have, they're actually serving from Bray tanks. They have 8 of them. So they have the potential to have 8 house brewed taps. They are right off the Nassau Avenue G train, on the kind of around the corner from Manhattan and Nassau.
Very, very cool. Nice. Yep. Mary, ask me where I'm going to be in about a half hour.
Oh, yes. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at the Brooklyn Bruisers meeting, talking all things yeast at Browery Lane. I'm going to bike my ass on over there.
I'm going to Uber.
You're
going to
Uber? I'm going to race your Uber. I just want to, again, thank everybody for coming on tonight. And I just also want to say go to bitternesters.com if you want to find out about stuff that's happening at my store and brew on premises. And hi, Carla.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.